Hi, you're listening to In The Loop with Oxwash, a podcast where we talk to industry experts about the latest sustainability developments that you need to know about.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the next in the series of our Oxwash podcast, In The Loop. Today, I'm very pleased to be joined by Nav Sawhney. Nav is the founder of The Washing Machine Project, a truly inspiring organisation pioneering the development of manual washing machines designed specifically for a humanitarian context. 70% of the world's population lacks access to an electric washing machine, and the mission of The Washing Machine Project is to provide displaced and low-income communities with an accessible off-grid washing solution. Hi Nav, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi Tom, thanks for having me on. I've been an avid follower of this podcast, so I'm taking a bucket list on this, so thank you.
Wow, it really is our pleasure. So Nav, perhaps you could kick off by telling us a bit about The Washing Machine Project. Where did the idea come from, and how did you go about starting the organisation?
Yeah, I studied engineering when I was an undergraduate at Queen Mary in London. And then I joined Dyson's graduate program pretty instantaneously. And then I was there for about three and a half years. And I realized that every good bit of engineering that I'm doing is essentially making vacuum cleaners for rich people. So I wanted to do more with my engineering. I wanted to help people. I wanted for my engineering to go further. So I essentially went on sabbatical and I quit my job. And Tom, you can imagine coming from a South Asian family, going to my mom and saying, I want to quit my well-paid engineering job to go work for free in South India. Didn't go down well. but yeah, that's what I did. I joined the Engineers Without Borders international placement program, making clean and efficient cook stoves in South India. And I was there for a year. That whole experience was completely transformatory in my life and my personal journey. But it was the relationship that I struck up with my next door neighbor, a lady called Divya, who was a 30-something stay-at-home mom that spoke perfect English. She was the only lady in the rural village that I was staying in that spoke English. She learned that in high school. She wanted to work but didn't have the time because she was looking after the kids that she had. And she got married at the age of 16. And this story happened 100 times over with the ladies I interacted in my village that I was staying in. And so looking at Divya's, you know, really typical daily struggles, things that I would really take for granted, like, you know, electricity wasn't continuous. We'd have frequent blackouts in 40-degree heat. So no air conditioning, no fans. You know, the nighttime was unbearable sometimes. And cooking, you know, she didn't have access to electricity or gas to cook her food. And so she'd have to gather firewood. And finally, she didn't have access to an electric washing machine. So she'd spend hours and hours and hours a day causing back pain, joint pain, and skin irritation using cold water on this one activity. And one evening, I saw this and I asked her, Divya, why? Why are you doing this? It's so unproductive. And she said, you know, we don't have much access to water. We can't afford an electric washing machine. And this is how we've always done it. I was like, you're breaking your back. And she's like, yeah, it hurts a lot. And I, as an engineer, I felt like, you know, I could come up with a solution for someone like Divya. And so it was essentially on that promise of creating a manual washing machine for Divya, my friend, that the Washing Machine Project was born and that penny was dropped. And that kind of led to me coming back to the UK, doing a few things. I, I started a master's at the University of Bath in humanitarianism because I wanted to couple my academic passions with my engineering know-how and my humanitarianism passion. And then I started the social enterprise, the washing machine project, and we make manual washing machines that save time, water, and effort for people like Divya. And Divya is not alone. As you said in your opening, 70% over 5 billion people in the world today live like Divya.
Wow. Thank you, Nav. You know, what a story. I remember when we first spoke back last year, you know, being blown away to the same extent I am now, you know, hearing that Genesis story. I've got to ask, you know, are you still in touch with Divya?
Yeah. The project has snowballed and it's been featured in some of the largest news outlets around the world. And I was in India just before the pandemic in 2019, December. And I went to go visit Divya and I showed her all the articles and she was really proud, but also very embarrassed about the kind of the project that she inspired. And we actually named the product after her, the Divya One. And it was a completely cyclical moment. And yeah, we definitely want to go back out to India to meet Divya and present her with a washing machine. And that's happening later this year, fingers crossed.
Oh, wow. Wow, the Divya One. I love that. And yeah, hopefully you get able to get out there sooner rather than later. And Nav, perhaps you, for our listeners, you could describe a bit more, you know, the nuts and bolts of what these manual washing machines look like, what they're made from, and how do they work?
Yeah, I think for the first and foremost, you know, we're working in a humanitarian and development context. These people are left behind. These people struggle every day on daily tasks. That's one thing. These people have large families. We have done extensive research with over 1,000 families in refugee camps in development contexts in 10 countries now, with agencies like the UN, Oxfam, Save the Children, to name a few. And so our research has found that this activity of hand washing clothes is done predominantly by women, unfortunately, and is done for more than 20 hours a week per family. As well as that, it causes extensive skin irritation and back pain. So these are the problems that we're facing. And so our research has found that average families are in the kind of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. And so we have a large drum capacity. So it's about 5 kg. And your washing machine at home, Tom, would probably be around, you know, 5 to 7 kg. Although I know Oxwash is 10 kg, if I'm not mistaken. So we're getting there. So it's a large drum capacity of 5 kg. And the other problem is water consumption. You know, we know that in our research, we found that people use more than 50 to 60 liters per cycle in places where water is such a precious and scarce resource. You know, women would have to go get that water, or they'd have to pay for that water. And so our washing machine uses 20 liters of water. So it's more than half that of hand washing clothes. And so it's a manual crank handle washing machine. It has three assemblies. The first is a frame with load bearing wheels. And then you have the drum, which has an exoskeleton on it and a ball and socket joint attached to a broomstick handle. And then the inside of the washing machine has three baffles causing the soaping and agitation that you see in conventional washing machines. It's a conventional front-loaded washing machine. So you open the door on the front, so it's not top-loading to be even more water efficient. And it's made currently out of an off-the-shelf UN-approved 60-liter drum and marine plywood. Now, we've done multiple pilots in Iraq now, and we've got lots and lots of good feedback of how to iterate and further develop the washing machine that we're developing. So we're now going back out to pilot with the Divya 1.5, and it has incremental design changes that will help the user better interact with the machine. For example, you know, sitting down whilst you use it, multiple modes of interaction for people with disabilities, a drum in drum cycle so that you could dry your washing as well as wash it. And these things we found are really important for our end consumers. And we're in the industry of making impact for giving people the dignity of clean clothes. And that's all we want to do, iterating further and further.
Wow, thanks, Nav. I mean, I really urge everyone listening to jump on Google, search the washing machine project, and have a look at what these washing machines look like. You know, really is a remarkable feat of engineering. Nav, you mentioned the pilot project that's been happening in Iraq. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit more about that and, you know, these incremental design improvements that you're making. You know, how do you gather that data? Yeah. You know, what's the process behind gradually improving to improve the usability of these machines?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think a lot of organizations suffer with this because they don't keep the end user in sight, right? They just produce something and then just put it into the field and then hope for the best. But actually, our approach is really collaborative. Every kind of decision that we make is based on user insights and user feedback. And we always say that the user is at the heart of everything that we do. It's even written in our logo, which has a heart in it. You know, Divya is at the center of everything that we do. And so, you know, refugee camps where we're working in right now are really tough environments. You know, governments reduce access. There's unfolding conflicts. Safety is a major concern, and doing so in a dignified way. You know, refugee camps are not zoos. You know, and so we believe in the power of partnerships and collaborations. So we've worked with a number of agencies, and in Iraq we've worked with Oxfam International and Care International, who provide us really, really cool and interesting insights into the intricacies on the ground. And they give us real-time and live feedback on our washing machines when we distribute them. So I've traveled to Iraq a number of times to distribute washing machines. And then we have a team that do the field monitoring and evaluation. And that's quite a painstaking process. Often, you know, you have to translate in three languages, Arabic, Kurdish, and then English, you know, and all of these things have to be done really meticulously, because we don't want anything to be lost in translation. And all of that needs to be fed back into our design. An example of that is, you know, our Divya 1 didn't accommodate multiple modes of interaction, didn't accommodate drying. And that's something that we're actively accommodating into our Divya 1.5. So when we go back to Iraq, we have a newly improved washing machine that hopefully answers some of the problems that people faced in the first prototype.
Got it. Thanks, Nav. Yeah, that concept of translation forming an integral part of the design process is it's a challenge. There's not many people facing out there. And you know, working with sizable, well-established organizations such as Oxfam, such as the UN, you know, that must be an amazing experience. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, and so this all started about 2.5 years ago. And before that, it was just an idea in my head, right? And I didn't have any of the credibility that we have now, right? Just an idea and a promise to a friend. And I want to mention this because it was very vivid. And I was recently talking about it to a friend of mine last week who was out there with me. I was in Lebanon and I was doing some scoping activities, trying to understand if this idea of hand washing clothes and coming up with a solution to that is viable. And we had no contacts on the ground anywhere around the world. And it was really unconventional, but we essentially just started knocking, literally knocking at the doors of the UN and Solidarities International at the time, as well as some grassroots organizations in Lebanon. And they opened the door to us. This is a literal event that happened where we just turned up at the offices of agencies and we said, we have this idea, we have this approach, we need to do some research, could you help us? And you know, in large part, most organizations were really welcoming. They welcome innovation in this sector, and the current setup is not working. And since then, you know, working on that collaborative approach with agencies has been really, really successful. And we start by doing a needs-based research. It has to be driven by need of the people. The last thing that we want to do is give something to someone that they don't want. And so agencies really recognize that. And we've utilized the power of our network and contacts to help us make that possible. But now we've been lucky enough to have really large agencies around the world. I'm having a meeting with Save the Children in Turkey. We're conducting a pilot with Engineers Without Borders in Australia in Vanuatu, you know, Care International in Iraq, UNHCR in Jordan. These organizations are actively contacting us now for pilots and implementations in their context, which is a real testament to see how far we've come from knocking on the doors of agencies to now. So,
what an amazing story, literally knocking on the door of the UN and essentially being invited in. Well, I mean, that really is testament to your character, Nav. Thanks for telling us about that. And you mentioned the importance of innovation in that. And I wanted to ask about plastic microfibers, you know, something that's really in the press at the moment. Tiny microscopic filaments of plastic that find their way down the drain into the water sources, up through the food chain, and eventually back into us as humans. Is this something that you're considering with the Divya 1.5 or perhaps future iterations of the model?
Yeah, massively. It's something that we're really passionate about, right? Creating sustainable and equitable solutions. There's no secret that, you know, there's massive global inequalities and there's a massive unfolding global warming crisis that's unfolding right in front of our eyes. And for us to alleviate the burden of people like Divya, the conventional ways of doing it is not going to work, you know? And so we need to live in this kind of harmonious donut where we're not exceeding the planetary boundaries, but we're also lifting up people out of poverty like people like Divya. And microplastic pollution is something that's really important, and we're actively talking about it to agencies. And how do we deal with that grey water? How do we reuse that grey water that's coming out of our machines that they could use for agriculture? And how do we filter that out? And so having a very low-tech filtration system on the back of our machines is something that we're actively pursuing. It won't be on maybe 1.5, but it will almost certainly be on further iterations. And we need support on that. We need active collaborations to help further our research in this area, because it's something that right now we need help on, I think.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Nav. And on the on the theme of help and support, you know, is there anyone specifically that you're looking to talk to, or any groups of organisations that you would really value the support from, you know, that perhaps that, you know, the Oxwash listeners might be able to help put you in touch with?
Yeah, absolutely. We've come so far on the back of goodwill and support from our network and our contacts, and it's really been transformative to us in helping our mission of giving people the dignity of clean clothes. And so, you know, organizations that really specialize in detergent manufacture, service-based delivery, last mile distribution, humanitarian contexts, charities, innovation in washing solutions, so white goods manufacturers, are all imperative in helping our mission. It seems like a no-brainer, right? Someone spending 20 hours on their hands and knees scrubbing each piece of cloth seems like a really unproductive task. We're coming up with a solution that's trying to help with that. And I think the power of partnerships is only going to make that possible.
Absolutely. And you recently announced a very exciting partnership with Electro Components, which is the company that owns brands such as RS Components that some of our listeners might be familiar with. You know, that really is a remarkable partnership. How did that come about, and what impact will that have for the washing machine project in the years to come?
Yeah, it's I think it's a phenomenal inflection point for both Electro Components and the washing machine project. So the partnership is a three-way partnership. It's with Electric Components, the washing machine project, and the TWMP Foundation, which is a charity that gives grants to innovative projects, specifically for the humanitarian context. And so Electric Components have chosen, in the first of its kind, the washing machine project, on a three-year fundraising partnership that will help distribute 7,500 washing machines in 10 countries by 2023. And this will save millions and millions of liters of water and positively impact 100,000 people. And I just can't believe that we made this possible and we've got it to this stage. It's been a year in the making. And Electric Components reached out to us, and some of the really senior people in Electric Components reached out to us and said, we love the project, we love the mission, we want to empower our people, our customers, and our partners to help the washing machine project's mission. And so I really wanted to say thank you to Electric Components for recognizing the importance of innovation for the bottom of the pyramid and for the washing machine project's mission to help alleviate the burden of hand washing clothes.
Wow, congratulations. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing to hear around that partnership, and as well as the work of the foundation. You know, really, you say that you're in the business of impact, and I think that really rings true. So thanks for that, Nav. Yeah. I wanted to ask you around the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic has had upon the washing machine project.
Yeah. I mean, in the kind of social enterprise charity space, funding has really taken a real hit. I mean, the government of the UK has reduced its development spending from 0.7 to 0.5%, and then also the Foreign Office has just announced last week that it will be cutting aid to water sanitation hygiene projects in the development context, which is, I mean, it's really phenomenal stuff. Ironically, during a global pandemic. But, you know, it's those kinds of things are really problematic for organizations that are literally giving solutions in this space. So that's one thing. But the second thing is, we've as the Washing Machine Project, as an organization, we've really spent the last year taking time in innovating our Adivia 1.5. We've expanded our network, and I mean, we've just announced the largest partnership that we've had in the history of the organization. So I think in some respects, there's a silver lining there. But yeah, it's also been quite difficult. And over the next few months, we're conducting another pilot in Iraq, in Vanuatu, and in Jordan. So in all, another 65 machines are going out. And that was based on all the hard work that we've done over the last year. So that's one thing. And then the second thing over the last year, for me personally, I think it's the importance of really highlighting the mission of, one, the Washing Machine Project, and two, the importance of innovation for the bottom of the pyramid. You know, I was an engineer whose ultimate and sole mission was to get a really good graduate program in a large domestic appliance company that makes vacuum cleaners. You know, my second choice was a missile defense company, you know, as a graduate. And my mission is to really highlight the importance of engineering for people like Divya, who just need really simple low-tech solutions to alleviate their burden. And so I've spent the last year talking to thousands and thousands of students right across the world about that importance through my role as director and trustee of Engineers Without Borders UK, where I advise on their strategy.
Thanks, Nav. You know, and you mentioned again that you had your very well-paid, very comfortable job at Dyson, and you made the incredibly brave move to stop doing that and to really pursue your mission of impact. I'm wondering if you have any advice for aspiring entrepreneurs out there that might be looking to change the direction of their career and set up an impact social enterprise. Now, do you have any words of wisdom for people listening in that might be thinking along those lines?
Yeah, I don't know about you, Tom, because I mean, you're really well educated and had a few different jobs as well, and you probably had the same kind of thinking of me. You know, like, the opportunities are endless for us, like in terms of comfortable, well-paid salaries that don't have very much impact to being at the forefront of an organization that's actively innovating and creating change for people and planet, you know? And the people I speak to, especially the graduates that are coming out of university now, they're really, really angry. The Gen Zs amongst us are angry about the world that they're inheriting. So I'm really kind of comforted in the fact that we have a really great youth amongst us that are really empowered and fired up to create solutions. That's one thing. And my advice to young or to any entrepreneurs that are thinking about making real and tangible impact through green innovation is doing it. You know, I'm 30 right now. I don't know how about you, Tom, but I wish I did this 10 years ago. Could you imagine where we'd be right now? I think fundamentally it's because people are afraid of failure, and people are scared of sharing their own thoughts of what might people think. You know, it's we've just talked about the successes of the Washing Machine Project, but it's really tough. You know, there's a lot of sleepless nights. All people see is the press release, the funding, and the washing machines, but no one sees all the sacrifices. And my advice to anyone that has an idea is to try, and not to perfect it. Work on it as a rough and ready kind of really bare bones concept, and reach out to people that are going to help you on your mission, and I'll be the first one to support you. So I hope people reach out on the back of this and ask for advice and support, because you know the people really need people like the ones that are looking at into green innovation, because the world is in dire need for these kinds of innovations. And my advice is to reach out, don't do it alone, and just get on with it, and don't be afraid of failure, because what's the worst that could happen?
Wow, thank you, Nav. You know, I think incredibly poignant advice. You know, you hit the nail on the head there. What if we had started to do this 10 years ago? But it is never too late. So,
too late. You're right.
Thank you for that. And my last question, Nav, is, you know, what is the 5-year vision for the washing machine project? You know, in 5 years' time, what would you like to have achieved, and what would you like to have seen your team achieve?
Yeah. We're going to continue to innovate the washing machine that we've created and do a rollout of that. So, in the next 3 years, we're distributing 35,000 washing machines in 12 countries. 7,500 of those have already been allotted. But we're not just stopping at washing machines. We're creating solutions that really matter for people like Divya, for people around the world who have been left behind and who don't have access to the solutions that we have access to. So right now we're actively pursuing off-the-grid refrigeration. How do you maintain a 3-degree temperature for 24 hours and cool your food without any power? And so that's a design problem that we're actively trying to pursue for the development context, for refugee context. So off-the-grid refrigeration. Once you crack refrigeration, you can crack air conditioning. You know, I've been to refugee camps in Iraq in 45-degree heat with no air conditioning, no fans. And these are metal containers where a family of 10 are just sitting in right now. That's really unfair, really unfair. And so I want to create an off-the-grid air conditioning system. And so I want the washing machine project to be a kind of innovation, humanitarian organization that creates solutions for those left behind. And that's the plan for the next 5 years.
Amazing. You know, Nav really is, you know, a true inspiration in an entrepreneurial world and a social enterprise world. You know, I can't stress that enough. It's been an absolute honor chatting. Thank you so much for joining us. And I really look forward to following your journey and the washing machine project's journey for the years to come. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it. And keep fighting the good fight.
Brilliant. Thank you, Nav.